My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast.
Our lesson tonight, our lesson text will be taken from Luke, the 16th chapter. We'll be reading verses 19 through 31. That's Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31. We'll read that momentarily, and this is where our lesson will come from this evening, as we will visit the story of the rich man and Lazarus. 4 days ago, we embarked upon this gospel meeting. The theme, what it means to be a Christian, was put forth some weeks ago. As you put forth that theme and you began to work and advertise and invite people, and you and I see the end result. As we have seen good crowds each night, as we saw a record crowd on Sunday morning, it is just a great reflection of the good work that you have done. We began on Sunday morning by looking that it means to be a Christian to be individuals that are provided out of the people, able individuals, individuals that fear God, individuals that love truth. And you did that very thing. You provided out of yourselves the support this meeting needed, Leone. You got behind it well, and you did a great job. On Sunday morning, we looked at what it means to be a Christian. We looked at the prodigal son, a story, a homecoming, if you will. And we talked about that importance, that it means to make the right choices. We looked at the wrong choices that he made and the right one that he made at the end. On Sunday night, what it means to be a Christian, it means we must possess the spirit of growth at Leone Church of Christ. It means that we must grow in our evangelism, our encouragement, and our enthusiasm. On Monday night, we spent a few moments talking about what it means to be a Christian, that we have our priorities in the right place, realizing that sometimes we believe we have them in the right place, but there are times that Satan will come after those who have their priorities in the right place to mislead them. Last night, what it means to be a Christian, it means not to lack in obedience, not to lack in faith, not to lack in repentance, not to lack in baptism, not to lack in faithfulness, and not to lack in restoration. And now we come to tonight's meeting. What it means to be a Christian. I want you to consider with me what it means to be a Christian. It means that we must miss hell with everything we've got. You know, when I think of when an individual will lift his eyes in torments, there is going to be a memory there that's just going to inflict and create more suffering than we can even imagine. And when we look in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we have just a little indication of what happens when an individual and what they will remember if they die lost. I don't want none of us to even experience that. I love to sing songs like I've been redeemed. The song we just finished singing is one of my favorites. I love to have that on my radio program. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. It'll bring a tear of joy to your eye. But I want you to think with me tonight what it means to be a Christian. It means to miss hell with everything we got. But I want to approach that by thinking about what we will remember if we die lost. That's a horrid thought, but our lesson tonight will let us know. Let's read together Luke 16, and I'll start with verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fair linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried, and lifted up his eyes, lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there is a great gulf, or between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, if thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What will you remember if you die lost? First of all, I want you to consider with me, from verse 19, you will remember the riches that will do you no good. When you and I see how this man was dressed, we would consider him today in the finest apparel. Styling and profiling, we would call him the lady's pet and the man's regret. He was something to behold. He was decked in the finest of linen. He fared sumptuously every day. He looked great. And when you and I die lost, we will remember those riches that really deceived him. You know, when we think of being deceived, two verses come to mind. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, that's Galatians 6:7. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Both times we're told, don't be deceived by what you think is all right. He was deceived by riches that could not redeem. We know that from 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It's the precious blood of Christ that can redeem a soul. He was deceived by riches that he thought granted him safety and assurance. But Jesus said in Revelation 3:14-16, that those things of the world, as he told the church at Laodicea, these things will not do you any good. He was deceived thinking that he would have peace of mind. But we know from Matthew 27:3-5 that Judas, when he had betrayed the Lord, went back and cast down those 30 pieces of silver, admitting he had sinned and that he had betrayed that innocent blood. He will remember, and we will remember, the riches that deceived us. That what we possessed, that we thought kept us comfortable on this earth, will do us no good in the fires of an eternal hell. If he could have given every dime he had to have gotten out of there, he would have done it. But he lived a rich man and he died a poor man because he did not have Christ. Let you and I stop and think for a moment. It's very easy for us to be deceived that the things of this world, if we're comfortable, that we're doing okay. It just irritates me when people want to look upon the country's in good shape if we have a good economy. World can be dying, going to hell directly and straight through Satan's guidance, and as long as we pop in some immoral heathen, as long as the economy is good, we're going to do all right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. The Lord looks on the hearts of people in voting booths the same way He does outside a voting booth, and we better give some serious consideration before we want to cast a vote for the economy of this country when the world is suffering morally. Number two, what will we remember if we die lost? We go back and look, for example, in verse 25. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy, watch how Abraham said that, thy good things. And likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. What we will remember if we die lost, we will remember the comforts that were temporary. When you and I stop and think, we would consider a person that would live well over 100 years a good, long, full life. Just recently, Sister Laura Keeble passed away at 108, I believe it was. Now that's a long lifetime as we think about it. But when you stop and think of 108 years compared to eternity, it's just a blip on the radar screen. And we will be deceived by the comforts that are in reality temporary. Riches cannot buy, and the comforts will no longer be received. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, that this outward man perishes, but the inward man should be renewed day by day. When you and I think of how we should be renewed day by day, that puts it into perspective that what we have is just a temporary thing. That we're looking forward to a better world, or we should, or a better life. That is heaven. And I want you to stop and think about the rich man's desire and Lazarus' desire. You know, there's an old saying, what goes around comes around. And we noted a while ago, Galatians 6 and verse 7, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you stop and think that here was this poor man Lazarus at the gate of this rich man and desired the crumbs from the rich man's table? He wanted just a little bit. But now the roles are reversed. Now the rich man, with his eyes in torment, asked to send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. Now he wanted a little bit. Lazarus was deprived on the earth, and now the rich man, due to his life, is deprived in torments. That brings things down to know that how we live in this life, how we treat people, indeed will come back. Let us stop and think. If we were to die lost, we would remember the comforts that were temporary. Oh, that rich man, you notice again, Abraham said, you were comforted by thy good things. You see, here was a man that apparently had it all. He had it all, but now he had nothing. And oh, of all the things that he could desire, why, a tip of water on a finger, put on his tongue, wouldn't even begin to even comfort him. As a matter of fact, when you think of the word torments, you get a little indication that when it would hit his tongue, the heat would dry it up just that fast. Oh, what we would ask for. But I want you to look at this thirdly with me. What we will remember if we die lost. Look at verses 27 and 28. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, you would send him, speaking of Lazarus, to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Ladies and gentlemen, this next point may be a horrendous thought, but it's a reality thought. What we will remember if we die lost, we will remember family that's just like us. He wanted Lazarus to go back and speak to his five brothers. It's amazing that he wanted the words of a man rather than the words of the Lord. And if he ignored Lazarus, what makes you think the five brethren would have listened to him also? Here is one that said, and he was too little too late, I'm now wanting to be evangelistic. Go and tell Lazarus to tell my five brothers. Well, of course, they wouldn't listen to him. Abraham said his mark, and he said they have Moses and the prophets. But you see, he remembered that he didn't pay attention to Moses and the prophets. Why would his brothers? And he remembered those that family that was just like him. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize the importance of salvation, and especially to our families. That we can stop and think that everybody is all right, but if they're not obedient to the gospel, it's not all right. And I would suggest that if you and I have striven to teach our families and let them know what the Bible says, well, even from the days of Ezekiel and Ezekiel 18, and even into the New Testament, to where we note in Galatians, or rather James 5, we understand that we have tried everything that we can do. And there are occasions that you can speak to family members and it will only go so far. but we can continue to pray. We must never give up on them. And yet here was this rich man that remembered his family that was just like him. And he said, go back and warn them. Send back Lazarus that he may warn them. But it was too little, too late. That is a horrible thought to think back. A family that will follow you into a life of torment. It is also important that I'm sure he would figure that his example could have been better before them. And we need to stop and think of our examples before our family. Because you may be the very individual that's hindering your family from obeying the gospel. If you are a beloved woman with a husband who does not attend services, you pray for him, you remain faithful to him, you stay with him. 1 Peter chapter 3 teaches that without the Word, with your life, you can win your spouse. If you have a wife that does not attend, you must begin with you. If you have children that are not faithful, or children that have not obeyed the gospel, it must begin with you. They will have to give an answer in the day of judgment, much like the rich man did, for what they have done, and what they will do, rather, as we talked last evening. But it's important that we do all that we can for our family. Sometimes you'll be amazed what a heart-to-heart talk will do with a loved one. You know, you don't beat anybody over the head. You don't want to be beaten over the head, and neither do I. But you'll be surprised what sometimes a heart-to-heart will do with a family member or a friend. But I want you to look with me, number 4. In verses 29 through 31, when Abraham told the rich man, they have Lazarus, or they have Moses, rather, and the prophets, that's not what he wanted to do. He said, Father Abraham, they will repent if one rose from the dead, to which Abraham simply told him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Here's the 4 thing that I see one remembering if they die lost. If we die lost, we will remember the Word of God that we turn down. God's Word, Jesus taught us to search those Scriptures. For in them we think we have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Him, John 5:39. You and I are able to grow in our knowledge and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 3:18. We grow in God's Word when we study God's Word to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You and I have spent this week on 4 days, 6 lessons in 4 days, studying God's Word that we may know what God's will is for our lives. You and I must pause and give careful thought to what God has brought forth in His Word, because that is the Word that will judge us in the last day, John 12:48, by the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. But you will remember the words that you turned down, and you still will. It is amazing that he did not want the authority, Moses and the prophets in this context, to be taught to his brothers. He again wanted man's word to send back Lazarus, but not God's word. And may we not seek out man's answers over God's answers when God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. Now let's take a moment and just recap from our excursion in the torments of hell. Let's recap for a moment what one will remember if one dies lost. What will you remember if you die lost? Like the rich man, you will remember riches that deceived you. You know that there's not 1 ounce of wealth or 1 ounce of possession that will change your life for God. But we must understand that it is the true riches and the treasures that we lay up in heaven that God is looking for. That's Matthew 6:21. You and I will remember in verse 25. We will remember the comforts that are temporary. You and I are comfortable in this building. You and I are comfortable at our homes. Last night when the storms came, you were comfortable inside and safe. But we will remember those comforts that indeed were temporary. When we die lost, verses 27 and 28, we will remember. We will remember family members that are just like we are. And the urgency to let our family members know the beauty and the teaching of the gospel of Christ. My mother and daddy have been struggling lately, and when I went to visit them on Monday, I made an effort to talk with both of them, to let them know how much I love them, to let them know that at age 75 and 74 respectively, that they need to give serious thought to their souls and to walk in the way God would have them to go. You may think that's a tough thing for a son to do. Well, it is, but at least I didn't walk in their house drunk, and I didn't walk in with a meth problem, and I didn't walk in begging for money because I gambled something away. I thought I'd talk to them about their souls while I had the chance. And I pray God gives me the grace to continue to walk in that way, for I could lose it all tomorrow. Never underestimate our family. It does begin with you and I. Verses 29 through 31, as we just discussed, we will remember God's Word that we rejected while on this earth and even rejected while in the torments of hell. These are four things we will remember if we die lost. Therefore, why would anyone want to die lost tonight? There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. There is no guarantee of next week. We only have, as Jesus said in the latter part of Matthew 6, sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. I am thankful for God's plan of salvation that we studied last night, that we've mentioned every service. For the individual that is not a Christian, if you die, you will die lost. You may be a good old boy, you may be a fine woman. You might be a good husband, a good wife, but you will die lost. And no matter what answers you look for in life, no matter what reasoning you might give, they will not stand with the eternal judge on that last day. You believe in God. He has given you a direction of repentance that you may turn away from the life you live and turn toward God. You can confess Jesus as the Son of God. You believe it. You don't have a problem confessing it, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's all. Then you begin a faithful walk with Christ. Somebody says, well, Brother Archie, that sounds good, but the way that I live, I don't think I can live it good enough. May I go back to last night? You're not living good enough now. If you were living good enough now, you wouldn't even be thinking about it. But I will say this, according to God's Word, you won't be living good enough. You'll be living better through Christ and through the salvation that He gives that nobody else can match. What will you remember if you die lost? You remember these things, but I shudder to think of one who has become unfaithful to God, who once named the name of Christ, but yet will stand before God as an unfaithful child who in essence turned his back or her back on God the Father. Our God is a just God, a God of great mercy, and a God of love. But we will never underestimate His severity that we read of in the same sentence of His goodness in Romans 11:22. I would plead with you that eternity is too long, time is too short, and death is too certain for you to leave tonight, not being certain where you stand. These are things you will remember, and I will remember, if we die lost. It was on the fourth anniversary of 9/11. I was listening to the radio, and they were interviewing a gentleman who had lost his boy in the Twin Towers. He called his daddy, and he said, Daddy, he said, it's terrible, and it's horrible. And the daddy told him, said, Son, get out of there. And he said, Dad, you don't understand. I can't. To relive that day is a shudder in our hearts that none of us want to. But tonight you and I have the opportunity to look up unto God and say, God, through Your grace and Your mercy, I can. I can't obey the gospel, and I can come home. So as we stand and sing the invitation song, what will your answer be? Granted as we stand and sing.